Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waving for the video portion of our show, Captain Brett Bartlett, 32 years of exemplary law enforcement experience, and he's also a Marine. He's the founder of Exemplar Defense Solutions at exemplardefense.com. So thanks so much for being on the show, Captain. We appreciate it. Lieutenant Chuck Springer, former commander, LAPD, and don't hold that against him. And he's got one good thing going for him. He moved to Florida and he left California. So that's another good thing. We're still working on Dr. Darren Porcher, though, who's also on the show. He's still in New York, though. Retired NYPD lieutenant, regular on Fox and CNN. So thank you so much for being on the show, Dr. Darren. A shout out to our sponsors, our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. We're actually doing a free $50 Gauls gift card giveaway today as well. Stay tuned for that. We also have our satellite sponsor, Compliant Technologies. Thanks to them, we're in our fourth week of satellite radio. That's huge. Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to them, we're streaming to 1.5 million people right now. TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. And a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Guys, we've got some unbelievable topics. The first one, GOP senators demand answers after Biden ATF is caught inflating salaries. We need to get a good permanent guy over there at ATF, and I think that we may have some suggestions for them. Also, Trump pardons former Virginia sheriff convicted of taking $75,000 in bribes. This is the second pardon or, like action that we got some questions about. But this article adds a little bit more information on why it might be justified. So stay tuned for that. NYPD fatally shoots a guy after a stolen car nearly hits an officer in the Belt Parkway. That's where Dr. Darren Porcher's from. And at least the car thief has good taste. He stole a Porsche. And then we got Bradenton police officer injured after being dragged by a car during a traffic stop. So this is Bradenton, Florida, in mine and Brett's neck of the woods. Oh, and Chuck's. And we are still having guys getting in cars. So stay tuned for that one. We got an arbitrator orders the reinstatement of an Oregon probation officer fired over Nazi salutes. So even though the arbitrator ordered the reinstatement, the sheriff is saying, not so fast. I'm not going to do it. So yeah, there's a standoff. And then we got Baltimore police released body cam video from a fatal shooting on a suspect who shot at police officers. And then we've got a Miami officer. You never know what these Miami cops are going to do. They're cleared a March 2024 shooting of a guy that's having a mental health crisis. We have a couple other ones in case we have time to get to them that we can jump to. But if you guys are ready, let's go in and jump into this and get this thing started. RVMnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media. GOP senators demand answers after the Biden ATF is caught inflating salaries. What in the world does this mean? So these two Republican senators, they're demanding immediate action from the Department of Justice after their internal investigations revealed that senior officials at ATF improperly reclassified employee positions to inflate pay and benefits. Now, this was reported originally in Fox News. Rather than face disciplinary action, the officials involved were reportedly promoted during the Biden administration. And in a letter sent Friday to Attorney General Pam Bondi, go Pam, ATF Acting Director Daniel Driscoll. Now, again, he's the acting director, and Senator Chuck Grassley and Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa, they alleged that ATF leadership, that they were engaged in substantial misconduct, mismanagement, abuse of power, and potential criminal misconduct because they ignored federal directives on job classification. The letter goes on to say that there were two federal investigations, one by the Office of Personnel Management that was completed in 2020. There was another one by ATF Internal Affairs, and that was finished in 2024. According to the senators, OPM, Office of Professional Management, they had suspended ATF's classification authority back in 2020 due to concerns about improper reclassification, but ATF officials continued to disregard the directives even after the suspension was lifted in 2023. And at minimum, they say that Ms. Boykins and Mr. Bilteri, that they have gross misconduct, demands corrective action, and senators wrote this in a letter to ATF. They're talking about supervisors Lisa Boykin and Ralph Bidaleri. And Grassley and Ernst alleged that both officials knowingly approved declassified positions, retaliated against whistleblowers, and that they concealed unauthorized job changes. So there's a lot of accusations here. How in the world do we clean this mess up? And I don't know if there's any surprises. You know, we've talked about, FBI, Secret Service, and now, ATF is getting into the mix on this thing. What do you guys think? And hey, Brett, should we have a permanent ATF director?
Yes, we need a permanent ATF director. I'm just reaching out for a name, OLSA Dan O'Kelly. Now, back to the story. I'm not surprised, Chip, that the federal government is doing federal government things. When you have that many people working that many jobs with that big of a budget, things are going to happen. So, of course, people are going to do bad things. But I think it's probably going to be related to the Secret Service brawl that happened outside of Obama's house the other day. I think there's going to be a direct link. Maybe we'll talk about that next time.
All right. Beautiful. I love it. Dr. Darren Porcher. I see you reaching for the microphone. I just kind of call. Hopefully I didn't call that prematurely, Darren, but we're good.
No, it's all good. You know, when we look back at the Biden administration, it was a real challenge as it relates to oversight, because it seems as if he checked out the day after he was inaugurated. So we oftentimes question who was at the helm of the ship. And so when we look at what was happening in the DOJ, more so specific to the ATF in this particular case, you didn't have the oversight that should have been there. And so when we speak to inflated salaries, that's a real challenge for someone that's an executive, because if this was a lower ranking officer or agent, you know, they would have had his head on a platter. So that being said, I agree with Brett mentioned that we need to have someone that is permanently in that position as opposed to an acting director, because when you have someone permanently inserted into position, I think that that really resonates to this being a qualified individual that we get behind, and we understand that this is the person that has the ideology and philosophy to get the job done. So, you know, let's step away from these acting directors and let's appoint a permanent director, as Brett mentioned.
Interesting. Wow. Lieutenant Chuck.
Yeah, not much to add. You guys have covered a lot of it, but where were the inspector generals at this point? Right? They're mad that they're getting rid of them now, but what were they doing when they were in place? There should have been somebody that was looking at this from a different perspective. But yeah, it's clearly misconduct.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. I tell you, I would love to see a permanent ATF director and someone like our own Dan O'Kelly, retired ATF, but he's been very public about what he thinks could be done to fix the problem over there and to make the help make the Trump administration shine. So, guys, if you're ready, we'll go to our next story here. We've got about 4 minutes before we take our first commercial break. Foxnews.com, Trump pardons former Virginia sheriff convicted of taking $75,000 in bribes. We talked about this on the show. I remember that Sheriff Mark Kreider was actually on that show, and everybody's just shaking their heads. Well, remember, you only know the information that you're able to find or that's coming out through the media, right? So we've got more information about this now. President Donald Trump on Monday, he announced that he's going to pardon a former Virginia sheriff convicted of taking more than $75,000 in bribes in exchange for appointing businessmen as auxiliary deputy sheriffs within his department. Now, this is, this is not entirely new. There's always been concern, or at least a microscope, on sheriffs that are taking maybe campaign money or whatever, or letting business people have, they're deputizing them, letting them run around with badges, being auxiliary or reserve deputies and having certain abilities. And a lot of it's just for show, sometimes not. In a Truth Social post, Trump said that Scott Howard Jenkins, 53 years old, of Culpeper, Virginia, that he was supposed to report to jail on Tuesday, but that instead he's going to have a wonderful and productive life. But there's some interesting information here that should help make you feel better about this. Jenkins is the former sheriff of Culpeper County, convicted last year of one count of conspiracy, 4 counts of honest services fraud, 7 counts of bribery concerning programs receiving federal funds, and he was sentenced back in March to 10 years in prison. So that sounds pretty bleak, right? Now, in his post, Trump said that the former sheriff and his wife have been dragged through hell by corrupt and weaponized Biden Justice Department. And they go on to say that during the trial, Sheriff Scott Howard Jenkins, that he actually tried to offer exculpatory evidence to support himself, but that the Biden judge, Robert Bolo, refused to allow it, shut him down, and then he went on a tirade, according to Trump. And Trump, and no one knows better than Trump about, you know, the weaponization of the legal system. He said, as we saw in federal, city, and state courts, radical left and liberal judges allowed into evidence what they feel like, not what is mandated under the Constitution, under the rules of evidence. He said, this sheriff is a victim of an overzealous Biden Department of Justice. He does not deserve to spend a single day in jail. He's a wonderful person who was persecuted by the radical left monsters and left for dead. This is why I, as president of the United States, see fit to end this unfair sentence and grant Sheriff Jenkins a full and unconditional pardon. Now, federal prosecutors allege that Jenkins accepted cash bribes in the form of campaign contributions from co-defendants, and the co-defendants are named as well as five others, including two FBI undercover agents, and there were like three co-defendants. In exchange, Jenkins appointed the people paying the bribes as auxiliary deputy sheriffs, a sworn law enforcement position, and issued them official Culpeper County office badges, credentials, according to the article. There is some more stuff in there about, you know, the sheriff begging for help and saying that there was a miscarriage of justice and hoping the Trump administration would at least hear him out, that he would give them information that they would not be able to ignore. Dr. Darren Porcher.
Well, the first piece, when we have the inculpable and exculpable information that's going to be introduced, it's a Brady violation on the judge's part to not allow the exculpable information into the record, because this is what supports him doing whatever he did. You know, as a sheriff, you're an elected official. It's different when you're a sheriff compared to if you're a police commissioner. As a sheriff, you're elected. So as a result of being elected, you take in campaign donations. That's just something that happens. And so if you want to go after a person that's taking in campaign donations, you know, I just think that that's somewhat troublesome, because it happens all the time. And when you look at a lot of these people that are deputized by sheriffs, they're primarily people that provided campaign donations. So I guess, you know, it was fortunate that Trump provided some insight on this and was able to provide him a pardon.
Were you on that show when we talked about this, Darren? Was that you and the sheriff, or no?
No, I wasn't on that show.
All right. Commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know that we can buy our gear from a lot of different places, and especially online. But I want to remind everybody here the importance of supporting companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that fits that bill better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. Now, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, I encourage you to support our title sponsor and go to Gauls.com. And for the loyal listeners of the show, listen to what they're doing. They're giving you a code. It's Radio15. That gives you 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com until June the 31st at Gauls.com. Again, the code Radio15 at Gauls.com for 15% off. And they have gift cards we give away too every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card. They'll be your new best friends. Gauls.com. Go there today. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, talking about the news and the issues from a law enforcement perspective with Captain Brett Bartlett, Lieutenant Chuck Springer, and Dr. Darren Porcher. And so thanks, guys, for being on the show. So where do we leave off, and who wants to jump in?
I want to jump in because I read the indictment.
And tell our audience where we're at in case they're just joining us.
Oh, the sheriff got in trouble. He was convicted of
bribery.
Dishonest services. I read the indictment. Of course, we all know we're all cops, and you can indict a ham sandwich, they used to say. But, you know, if even some of the facts in the indictment are true, I think there's cause for concern. The article didn't really tell us anything that said this is why we're overcoming the evidence or overcoming the indictment. But what it sounds to me like was a guy running for sheriff doing running for sheriff things.
Yeah. Well, and also think about month or two, think about, you know, the FBI was involved in this. They used some FBI undercovers, whether they were sources or whether they were agents. I got the impression they were agents, but just think about all the information after Cash Patel and Dan Bongino are involved with the FBI, some information that might be filtering down to the Trump administration about how it went down.
Well, you know, and anybody running for anything, if they're not allowed to take donations, it ain't going to happen. And wouldn't it be nice if we could say, well, you can't give out favors for taking donations. We wouldn't ever have any elected officials anytime ever. But I took your time to read the indictment. It's a lot of repetitive stuff. It just doesn't sound good. Now, again, having said that, that's one small part of the whole argument. We don't know any evidence. We don't know anything. But, you know, like Darren said, they take money. That's what they do. They have to take money to buy ads, to buy things, but sometimes they take money to buy favors, and that's the unfortunate part, but they all do it.
Lieutenant Chuck Springer.
You know, my question is it the article, and again, I have problems with these articles because they really leave you hanging. They There's more questions after you get done reading the article than the answer. But there's co-defendants that pled guilty. What's going to happen to them? Are they going to get pardons too? Because if nothing inappropriate happened on the sheriff's end, then obviously the co-defendants didn't do anything wrong either. So, you know, that's a question. And as Brett mentioned, you know, what is this evidence that exonerates him? How can you leave that out of an article? Trump must have gotten some kind of information. And at some point, somebody's going to have to explain to us what this evidence is that clears him. And what's the point of writing an article if you're not going to include that?
Good point. We have Todd Irving on from Facebook saying that he worked for a sheriff's office and the sheriff was giving out badges to his cronies and said that he was offended by that. And we look through my 30-year career and Brett's too. Of course, Brett's going to point out that it was 32. But, you know, we've always heard about even sheriffs in this area doing something very, very similar. So it's not a shocker that you've heard this, but of course there is room for abuse in there. So, well, if you guys are you guys ready to go to a story with a video component, a use of force story? All right. I'm excited. So we got some good stuff here. So guys, we're going to be talking about some stories for the video components and look for our loyal listeners, especially Audible listeners, radio and podcasts. Stay loyal to the outlets that are bringing you this good quality content. In return for that, we will describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. Our goal is to put you there like a good movie, right? Listen to it audibly. But if we cover a video that you absolutely have to see, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning. Producer will put up a special version of the live show and he'll embed every video that we talk about as we're talking about it. Pictures of the good guys and the bad guys will pop up as we're talking about them. It's really a great way to watch a show. That happens Tuesday through Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning, the previous day's show. So at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter, NYPD fatally shoots a man after a stolen car nearly hits the officer on the beltway.
Go ahead. He's coming.
You can hear this Porsche coming. This is where Darren used to work. I'm curious how familiar he is with the beltway and stuff. How this thing missed the cops, I don't know. But in the article, police in Brooklyn have shot and killed a man allegedly driving a stolen vehicle, nearly hit an officer on a Tuesday night, according to NYPD. Now, investigators say the 28-year-old guy that was driving the stolen Porsche, it was in East New York just after 8 o'clock p.m. So the incident starts with NYPD community response team. They're searching for stolen vehicles. And officers, they end up running the license plate on the Porsche. And it appeared to act suspicious. So when they run it, they get the hit. So they attempted to pull it over. The driver flees eastbound on the Belt Parkway. They call ahead. There's a chase car. They dispatch other officers, roadblocks ahead of the car, several exits away. And now they get stuck in traffic. So they try to intercept the car. And they're stopping all the cars like gridlock on the beltway, except for the outside emergency lane. And then you hear this Porsche engine whining, and it's approaching at a fairly decent rate of speed. And on the body cams, you see this thing whiz by the emergency lane, and then it cuts between two cars where there's at least one cop standing, and how it missed him. I really thought that it hit him, and he makes it through. But right when he's going through, I believe it was a single shot, and apparently they shot the driver. He goes down, travels to another exit, and he hits a department vehicle. And the driver was pulled from the car, taken to the hospital, where he later died. So that's the way it goes down. Curious what you guys think. Darren, this is your neck of the woods. So why don't you go first? We got about a minute and 15 seconds before our commercial break.
This car was part of a stolen car ring, and the NYPD, like most of the police departments, have a policy whereas you cannot shoot at a vehicle unless that vehicle is using deadly physical force other than the vehicle. However, the NYPD changed that policy and they allowed officers to shoot at vehicles that were moving towards either the officer or third person. And that's what happened here. They shot the guy. And, you know, fortunately, the officer wasn't hurt, but it begs the question of, you know, what can we do better to prevent these types of acts from happening on our highways? Because these stolen cars, in most instances, we just kind of want to let them go because it becomes too troublesome in trying to chase a stolen car. And fortunately, the good guys were not hurt in this case.
Yeah, how that cop didn't get his feet run over. And you know, and I'm thinking, I mean, they did the like a roadblock, but no one blocked off the emergency lane. You know, I mean, if they simply would have gone all the way across, that probably would have solved that problem. But hey, we're coming up for our second commercial break. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, and they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low optics manner, and utilizing their, remember this, CD3 conductive distraction and de-escalation technology. Now, their flagship product we all know by now is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. So when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminate weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is the one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions has ever come across. Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. Go there today and tell them that Chip sent you. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. Talking about today's news and issues from a law enforcement perspective. We've got Captain Brett Bartlett, Lieutenant Chuck Springer, Dr. Darren Porcher on the show. And we just got done talking. Well, actually, we're still talking about a stolen Porsche in New York City, which is where, and Brett, thanks for reminding me about that, in New York City. And so we're talking about that incident. And then we're going to be talking about a knife company. Brett's going to take over that one. And then we've got, and I'm getting background noise, guys, if you can watch out where you're hitting your microphones at. And also, we've got a something about qualified immunity that was someone posted on the stream during the break I want to talk about as well. But talking about the stolen Porsche, I know that, Brett, you had your mic open, I think, and Chuck's got his mic open. So, Chuck, why don't you go and start us off and continue that conversation. The stolen Porsche on the Beltway almost hit an NYPD officer. I believe one shot was fired. Bad guy ends up going to another exit, crashes into a department car, take him to the hospital, and he dies. Chuck Springer.
Yeah, Darren, thanks for clarifying your policy on that, because that's a question I had. But my big, and Chip, you already kind of alluded to this, you know, and we've talked about things in the past when officers are trying to block cars in, you know, if you're going to do something, do it right. That emergency lane should have been blocked. I'm not sure why it wasn't. And really, I mean, I think my big message is guys, you got to get away from these moving cars. They're 3,000-pound bullets. Get away from them. I mean, how many guys do we lose deploying spike strips every year? To me, it's an unacceptable, even one is unacceptable. But, you know, we've talked a lot in the past shows about getting caught inside of cars, being dragged by cars. Guys, get away from the car.
All right. I think he's right. Hopefully they'll listen to you. Final words, Captain.
I saw an officer. I didn't know what jurisdiction, walking out in the open, just pointing guns at several of the cars in the front row. I guess he's trying to figure out, hey, is it you? Hey, is it you? Hey, is it you? Finally, somebody came in the race and said, no, our guy's still coming. Our guy's still coming. And again, we heard one shot. And you know what I say, Chip, if it's one shot, it's not a planned response. It's a startle response. It's just something that, you know, that happens. But if somebody's trying to run me over, I guess it's okay to be startled. But if you're gonna shoot a car, which I don't recommend, then shoot it to pieces.
You know, it's funny about the sound of that Porsche whining as it's coming down, and nothing sweeter when predominantly. I mean, I started my law enforcement career in 83. Brett, you started in 82, was it? Or yeah, 82. So. And Chuck, I'm not sure, but anyhow, I'm talking about the police interceptor, that the sound of that engine. And so back when, you know, we were on the street and we're young and you're in the fight for your life. And I mean, sometimes it's literally a fight for your life. And you hear those police interceptors just like screaming to get to you. It's hard to describe the feeling of relief. You're still in the fight. In the battle, but the relief that you get just mentally by knowing that the cavalry is almost here, right? And just something about the sound of that. Do you guys know what I'm talking about, Chuck?
Yeah, the Chevy Caprice makes a very distinct sound when you gun it.
Thank you. Yeah.
And that's what I grew up on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if we were probably all built like Dr. Darren Porcher, we wouldn't be needing calling for backup and stuff. So you may not know what we're talking about, but no, I, yeah, Brett. Oh, well, Brett, You've got a knife in your possession from a pretty cool company that's a great option for cops, and it's not going to cost them an arm and a leg. No pun intended. Can you tell us about that fancy new knife you have?
Yeah, Chip, we ran across Tectone Knives out at the SHOT Show, and we were enthralled, and they sent us a couple of knives, and I'm telling you, they're very, very good. And I'm not a big knife fan. I buy a cheap knife, and if I lose it, I lose it. But this knife, it's solid. And I don't know if you can hear this, but when you open it up, it's got some recoil. You can feel it in your hand. It comes out quick, and it's easy to put away. It's easy to lock. And I don't know if it's by chance, but the belt clips are just perfect. So when I pull it out, my thumb falls on the safety, then my thumb falls on the release, and out it comes. Very, very – y'all didn't even see that. I'm going to do that again. You couldn't even see. Watch. Oh. You don't have enough bandwidth, Chip, to see this thing.
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
Nice knife. I carry it everywhere now.
All right, I love it. So, hey, great option, and that is at. And we got the, Brett's got the box. I got the box here too. It's TechToeKnives.com. So again, that is T as in Tom, E K, T as in Tom O. And that is TechToeKnives.com. So check that out. It's not going to cost you an arm or leg either. There's some other knife companies that cost you a lot of money. And these are state-of-the-art stuff. So if you guys are ready, we got Todd Irving on saying it sounds like the four-barrel carburetor kicking in. I would have to agree with you, Todd Irving. You know, he's 100%. He knows what we're talking about with that police interceptor. So we got 5.5 minutes, guys. If you all are ready, we'll talk about another story with a video component. Did I cover everything that I was going to cover before we go to the next story? I was listing off some things. Are we close enough? All right, let's go ahead and pop into this one. So this next one, we're still on our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Oh, I know. Well, you know what? Let's go back. We were going to talk about a comment that a user made about qualified immunity, and that's what we were going to talk about. And it's Joe Hearns. And he said there's one sentence he said here, qualified immunity must end. And look, a lot of people talk about qualified immunity for police officers and how it needs to go away. And no disrespect to Todd or anyone, not the Todd, but no disrespect to this Hearns guy. It's Joe Hearns. It's not the Todd guy. Todd's a former Leo. But look, most of the people that say that, is there a nice way to saying that they're ignorant, Brett? Of what?
Well, ignorant doesn't necessarily mean you're stupid. I mean, you just don't know.
They just don't know. They don't know what they don't know.
So his last line, the blue line, protecting their own, ignored misconduct. You know, I ran internal affairs for a year, and we caught misconduct. We punished misconduct. Some of our people ended up in jail, lost their pension, have federal felons now because we didn't ignore their misconduct.
Yeah, so
but you know, it comes from he's coming from a place of ignorance, again, not knowing, and maybe he just needs to do a little more reading on it.
Yeah, exactly. So guys, when you're going to make statements like that, please be educated so it doesn't come back on you. And so what I will tell you is that the very first word in qualified immunity says it all. They have to qualify for it. Cops don't get it automatically, and it's not like something else called absolute immunity. If people really want to complain about absolute immunity that prosecutors and judges get and some Congress people, and they get it automatically. They don't have to qualify for it. That can be the real injustice. Don't, you know, saying that you don't like qualified immunity when cops have to go and try to qualify and they get denied all the time, they don't get it. It's just not an accurate or smart statement. It's totally unjustified. It just shows that you just don't know what you're talking about, with all due respect. But we're here to educate people and not to hold that against you. So now you know, and hopefully you can go and spread the word. So that said, let's go to our next story here with a video component. Rumble.com, This Is Butters, the channel. Bradenton police officer injured after being dragged by a car during a traffic stop.
To take off. It took you a while to stop. Turn the car off. That's all I'm asking you. Turn it off.
Please, sir. Please, I'm asking you. I'm begging you. Please. Please don't do this to me. Please. Please don't do this to me.
The fuck you...
Oh, stop! You're killing me! You're killing me! You're killing me! You're gonna kill me! Hey! Let go! Fuck!
You know, we talk about this till we're blue in the face about getting, not getting in the cars. But at least we have job security, because every week or two, we're going to be talking about a cop getting dragged by a car, no matter what we say. Bradenton police officer injured after being dragged by a car during a traffic stop. So Bradenton, Florida, which is where three of us are living in the Florida area. The Bradenton police officer recovering after he's dragged by a car during a traffic stop. This happened 11:30 in the afternoon, so it's almost 12 noon. Tuesday, Bradenton police say that Officer Shane Sharp tried to conduct a traffic stop. He asked the driver, who's only 19 years old, Lenny Macias Rangel, to turn off the car. And how many times did he ask him to do that, Brett? 12 times. Like 12 might be the magic number. And of course, the kid didn't do it the first time. He didn't do it the 12th time. So the agency says Officer Sharp opens the door and reaches in to shift the car in the park because it was in the drive, when our bad guy refuses to turn the car off. Then steps on the gas, he speeds up, he pins the officer against the dashboard, and he drives about 150 feet before he crashes into a pole. Now, the officer was released from the hospital on a Wednesday. Our bad guy is charged with 2 counts of aggravated battery of a law enforcement officer, 4 counts of battery on a Leo, resisting an officer with violence, fleeing or attempting to elude, possession with the intent to sell, manufacture, deliver controlled substance. Aha, we got drugs involved, driving while license suspended, revoke, cancel, whatever, disqualified. So, this guy shouldn't even have been behind the wheel of a car, but it doesn't matter. He was, and the cop, jumped in to try to stop him. Captain Bartlett, you got about a minute and 10 seconds.
Don't police officers love to hear themselves talk? And the officer said, I'm not going to tell you again. Yet he did. He told him again. And he told the bad guy, look me in the eyes. The bad guy's not to go, oh, crap, he means it. He said, he's not going to tell me again. He told me, oh, this guy means it. Here's what should happen. And like Chuck said, stay the heck out of the car. But you got this guy. He's a no person. And we talked about this, Chip. They also get on the radio. So listen, I have a non-responder. I need 2 officers. I need my sergeant. I need fire rescue. And when the guy says, oh, what are you calling fire rescue for? Then he can say, oh, that's the beginning. You're butt whipping. That's what's going to happen. And don't say anything else. Surround the car. Get a plan. Have a cup of coffee and go snatch this guy out of his car. But what do? Chuck, we got to get in that car because we're the police, and you've defied my authority.
All right. Great point to go to a commercial break. Third commercial break, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. It's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day. But it's what we don't know about them that gets us into trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett here, or Attorney Ken Afianko. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Huge opportunity. GunLearn.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. And, we left off talking about, another use of force. We got a cop that gets in a car, and this is only after he tells the bad guy 12 times to shut the engine off. And, of course, he doesn't. Cars in drives. The cop, what you do, reaches in, wants to turn the engine off. It's already in gear. Guy, this young kid takes off, pins the cop, behind the dashboard. About 150 feet later, they crash into a pole. Cops got to go to the hospital, and it's just a mess. Dr. Darren Porcher, the floor is yours.
Tactics are of optimum importance whenever you're conducting a car stop. One thing that I've never done is I've never reached into a vehicle to try to put the car in park. That's something that I just haven't done because I just think that it's tactically ineffective for me and puts me in an unsafe position. Captain Bartlett mentioned something that was extremely important. We have the ability to acquire backup whenever we're conducting a car stop. You don't have to be a tough guy on a car stop. If you're by yourself, I never recommend conducting a car stop by yourself. However, a lot of the state agencies, such as state troopers, or solo patrol entities, as well as a lot of the smaller departments, have a solo patrol. But even if you're a solo patrol component, you always have the ability to acquire additional backup to help you. This wasn't exigent circumstances. This wasn't a situation where there was a kidnapping, there were shots fired. This was a routine car stop. And unfortunately, the officer was dragged. So, you know, the teachable moment is always acquire backup whenever you're conducting car stops.
Yeah, I agree. And don't forget, we have that new sponsor, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. They've got that product called the Glove. All you need is skin, right, Brett? That's a great tool for extraction. So, Chuck Springer.
Yeah, not much to add. I think both Darren and Brett have covered a lot of it, but one thing to note is this guy's displaying typical distraction tactics, right? You know there's something else up because of what he's doing. He's trying to intentionally delay you. So more than likely, this guy's going to be taken off on you anyway. So as Darren mentioned, you know, back up, get your backup there, figure out what you're going to do. If the guy takes off, the guy takes off. You deal with it when that happens. But pay attention to those suspect actions, because to me, the minute I started watching this video, I go, this guy's dirty for something else.
Yeah.
Right. He's not just, you know, violating some type of traffic law. He's up to something. So,
yeah. And look at all the information.
Wouldn't it be funny, Chip, if the officer had just stopped talking, the bad guy wouldn't know what to do with that. He wouldn't know what to do because he knows if the cop stops talking, I'm in bad trouble. As long as the cop's running his sewer, I'm in charge. I can make my plan. I can get away. But once a policeman stops, bad guys know this, the butt whooping is coming.
You know, I would carry a picture of Darren Porcher in my wallet. And whenever I pulled over a bad guy, I would say, give me a second. I'd reach in my wallet, pull out the picture, say, comply, or I call this guy. Comply.
That's when you get a pitcher of water thrown on you if you're in New York. What a picture of me. You get a pitcher of water thrown in your face.
I saw a news story yesterday. They were throwing water-filled balloons, but they weren't filled with water. It was something else. Yeah. Yeah. They say it's water, but it's not.
You know, how about this, Chip? Start teaching officers, stop talking. Stop talking. No, serious. Stop talking. What would happen differently if you stopped talking?
It's funny, you know, when Brett mentioned earlier before the commercial break about requesting the fire department, I would sometimes put out a fake help call and let the suspect hear me putting out a fake help call, or, hey, I need a rescue ambulance for a suspect with a broken arm. Right. I didn't put that over the radio. Right.
I love it.
Right. That was intended for one person audience. And, you know, it worked fleetingly, but if it works once or twice, and hey, you know, it works. You can always try. And then, like Brett said, you just stop talking at some point and you wait for your buddies to get there to take care of business.
You know, our viewer talk that doesn't like qualified immunity, he's not going to like that one, Chuck. He's not going to like that at all. So that's very, you know, cops are very creative. I love it. Cops are some of the smartest, talented people.
It's verbal judo, Chip. It's verbal
judo. I love it. Right? I love it. I think it's great. Well, guys, there's one more story I'd like to cover, and there's not a video component, but it is still kind of sexy, if I can say that on the air. Corrections1.com, arbitrator orders the reinstatement of an Oregon probation officer that's fired over Nazi salutes. The arbitrator kind of gets it when it comes to police work and stuff. So we're in, it's in Oregon, but is it Dalles or Dalles, D-A-L-L-E-S? I don't know how you pronounce it, or Dallas, but it's in Wasco County. And this probation officer, he ends up being fired for using a Nazi salute in the workplace, but now he has to be reinstated according to the state arbitrator's ruling. So Sean Sorensen, he's the county's lead probation officer. He repeatedly greeted a colleague who was German with a salute and a phrase, "Mein Führer," and according to an internal investigation that was obtained by the Oregonian. So the same colleague, the one that was German, Marco Bettel, allegedly mimicked Adolf Hitler's mustache with his fingers, and he was overheard referring to his groomed dog as looking like a Jew. But when you're in police work, this stuff can be very typical, especially when you grew up overweight. Look at Brett holding his heart. The behavior described by Sheriff Lane McGill as egregious and offensive led to both these officers being fired back in 2023. And this is just going back between both of these guys, right? The arbitrator's name is Dorothy Foley. So a female, she determined that Sorensen's actions, while inappropriate and professional, that they did not amount to discrimination or harassment under employment standards. So she's looking at the law, the application of the law. She ordered Sorensen's reinstatement with back pay and benefits, issuing only a written reprimand for discipline. Despite the ruling, though, Sheriff McGill said that he has no intention of bringing Sorensen back. So in other words, he's going to ignore the judge's ruling. He says, we cannot tolerate a hostile work environment and will not allow a systemic behavior in our office. And this is what he tells. Now, Sorensen admitted that making the salutes, told investigators it was part of a longstanding joking exchange between him and the other officer. He said it was not uncommon. He said in a transcript, he said that Bettel, the other guy, denied participating in the behavior, claimed that he had previously reported Sorensen's conduct to his supervisor. But here's what the arbitrator said. The arbitrator, she acknowledged that Sorensen's 12-year disciplinary free record, so he had no discipline for 12 years, and accepted, she was impressed that he accepted the discipline. He admitted that to the behavior during the investigation. She described the environment, and here's where it gets key, the environment in the office as open, casual, irreverent, and sarcastic. She gets it. She pointed out that prior complaints about workplace conduct have been dismissed or ignored by management. And Sorensen still remains off the job more than 6 weeks after the arbitrator's March decision. The state's Department of Public Safety Standards and Training is still reviewing the case. The Sheriff McGill, he said that if they go legal, so if this guy wants to fight to get his job back, the county's prepared to defend the termination in court despite what the judge has already or the arbitrator's already ordered. Wow. So guys, what do you think about that? And Darren probably has more exposure than anybody on this kind of stuff, because he's the expert they haul in the court to testify on this stuff. But Darren or Chuck, whoever wants to go, we got a minute and a half.
I'm sorry. Okay, good, Chuck. No, Chuck.
I looked at this and I laughed. I go, are you kidding me? You got to, first of all, if you're going to do this kind of stuff, you got to know your audience. If you've got a really good partner and you guys are doing this kind of stuff in the black and white, I'm not going to condone it, but you leave it in there. You can't do it in an open office space. I'm really kind of a little surprised that the arbitrator ruled in favor of this guy. You got to know your audience. You can't do this kind of stuff anymore. You just can't do it.
Well, apparently you can.
I want to agree with Chuck. You know, conduct prejudicial to the good order of the department can be combustible. And we don't want a situation that creates a hostile work environment. If I'm in a police car, I'm in a radio call with a partner of mine, and we have a private conversation, but we have an understanding between the two of us, such as we may talk about something that happened with our wives the day before, how they pissed us off. That's fine. But when you're in an open forum, you need to conduct yourself accordingly. And, you know, shame on the officers for displaying such conduct. And I, like Chuck mentioned, I was surprised that the arbitrator ruled in favor of these officers.
Yeah. And are you surprised the sheriff said he doesn't care? He's going to stay fired and they're going to go to court?
No, absolutely. I understood it because the sheriff has a job to maintain the structural happiness, or I should say structural control over that environment in that department. So I'm all for with the sheriff.
All right. Well, beautiful. Well, gentlemen, an excellent show. Captain Brett Barley, Exumer Defense Solutions at ExumerDefense.com. Lieutenant Chuck Springer from LAPD. Dr. Darren Porcher, retired lieutenant from NYPD. Thank you guys so much for being on the show. I used to take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD. They also have that special guitars for cops to go on for $1,000. You not only get a really cool looking guitar, but you get it signed by one of your favorite country music artists, and that's at guitars4cops.com. Our sponsors, Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.Live, Safeguard Recruiting, and TubeBells.com. Thanks for your support, guys. We'll look for you back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com.